Hello, lovelies. I'm Valeria, and this is Have Murder, Will Travel. Heyo! Welcome to episode 14. You're here, you made it, we're excited. Before I dive into this week's case, I want to tell you a little personal story from last night, actually, where for a second, I was like, oh shit, this is how I get murdered. But turns out I'm just a dramatic bitch and I was never, never in danger of being murdered. So if you don't want to hear my little story, skip ahead maybe like a minute or two. I don't know. So last night, I was using my laptop in front of the TV because, you know, I'm a classy bitch. I was actually researching the next episode of the podcast. I like to work ahead. And I'm by myself, obviously, you know, hashtag single life, chilling, researching, whatever, and I hear a noise. Now, my house is pretty old, over 100 years old. It's just old, so it creaks, it makes weird noises sometimes. I was like, okay, no big deal. But then I heard the noise again. Now I'm like, this sounds like something's going on. And I hear it again. And now I look toward the hallway from the living room and I can very clearly see something moving in the hallway. I couldn't tell what it was, but it was moving and it was making noise. Again, I'm by myself. It's late at night. I froze. I just sat there staring at the hallway like, oh, this is how I fucking die. I love to think I'm a final girl, but turns out I'm the dumb bitch that just, I'm like collateral damage. I'm the dumb bitch that just sits there and is like, what, a killer? And then he slices off my head or something. So I'm just kind of staring and I could see this movement again and hear the noise. And finally, I kind of fall out of my stupor and I'm like, okay, I go see what it is. Now, sure, some people might hear a noise, see something in their house, be like, better call the cops. Not me. I was like, gotta go see what it is. Again, so not the final girl. So I didn't even pick up a weapon. Like, who goes to investigate a noise without a weapon? Me. Dumb ass blonde me. So I go into the hall. I don't turn the light on. Like, whatever it is can't see me coming through the big lighted doorway behind me. I'm getting closer. And whatever it is moving. And I'm like, okay, it's not a person. But I still don't know what it is. So finally, I reach across whatever it is, cross its airspace, like, oh, Lord, hope it's not infected. Flip on the light. It was a fucking frog. Yeah, somehow a frog had not only gotten into my house, I have a two-story house. I was on the second floor. How the fuck did this frog climb all the way up the stairs? I mean, I get they hop, but what the hell? So I'm nice, you know, I pick the frog up on the trash can lid. I use the dustpan and the trash can lid and I get him outside and I kind of probably should have been a little nicer when I put him out instead of being like, eh, thanks, you're an unwanted guest, get out, and kind of chucked him a little. Probably should have been a little nicer putting him on the porch, but he did hop away. He was fine. I was not, though. Still not sure how the frog got in. And now I'm like, oh shit, if a frog can get in, I bet a serial killer could get in. I'm gonna fucking die. And also, just what is wrong with me? I see something, I hear a noise, and I don't react immediately. I just stared at it for a few minutes, like, duh. And also, I went out there with no weapon? What is wrong with me? Again, I used to think I was the final girl in a horror movie, but that little bit last night made me realize that I'm probably not. So yeah, that's just my fun kind of related thought I was going to be murdered story. I promise I won't share too many personal stories like this very often, but that one I was just like, oh, I actually had my heart racing, which once I'm done with it, I'm like, yeah, it's a frog. It's anticlimactic. I was telling somebody at work about it. And when I said, oh, it was a frog, she literally lost all interest. She was just like, okay. And just turned back to her computer and was like, no, I thought I was going to die. And she's like, but it was a frog. And we just moved on. And my sister's fucking useless. I text her about it. I was like, oh my God, I almost died. There was a frog. And she literally replied, what kind of frog was it? Bitch, I don't know. I didn't introduce myself. I didn't say, hey, you're trespassing. What's your name? Jeez. Okay. So sorry I threw that in there. I just felt like I wanted to share a murder adjacent story that is actually not murder adjacent at all. But in the moment, it felt like it was. Now we're going to get into it. Episode 14, here we come. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's little jaunt into Ireland. I thought that one was fun. We're done bouncing around the Atlantic for a little while. We're just going to head on south. We are going to Gabon. Hopefully you know, but just in case you don't, Gabon is a small country in Western Africa. It is a former French colony and the unfortunate site of our murder this week. We are going to be discussing the horrific murder of Sister Lydi Oyane-Zouwe. I believe that I said her name right. I did listen to another podcast. I didn't really listen to it. I'm going to be real. I just listened to hear how they said her name and I was like, that sounds right. They were actually from Africa, so I feel like they probably know what they were talking about. So yes, Sister Lydi Oyane-Zouwe was murdered. And that's right, I did say sister. So as you can imagine, she was a nun. Someone murdered a poor, sweet nun. And I'm going to talk about her, and you're going to see that she was like the epitome of what nuns are supposed to be. She was charitable, she was loving, she was kind. And somebody murdered her. What an asshat. Also, I'm not religious by any means. I think I've mentioned that a few other times, but I do respect religion. I get it. It's cool for other people. I'm pretty sure if you kill a nun, you're going straight to hell. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a rule. Don't quote me on that, but, you know, seems like it's a rule. Kill a nun, kill a priest, kill a rabbi, any sort of religious person. Pretty sure you go to hell or whatever that religion's version of hell is. Hopefully that's where this killer's going. I like to think so. So Sister Lydi Oyane-Zouwe was 52 years old. And like I said, she's a nun. She's very religious, dedicated her life to serving the Lord. She served everyone. Just like I said, epitome of what a nun should be. She just seems wonderful and delightful. She lived in the capital of Gabon, Libreville, which most of the population lives in or around Libreville. Little side note, not related to this case at all. In third grade, I won the class geography bee, and one of the questions that I got right was about what the capital of Gabon was. And for some reason, that little bit of useless trivia has stuck with me forever. So just forever, anytime I need a weird, awkward icebreaker, I'm like, Libreville is the capital of Gabon. Hashtag why I'm single. Yeah, just thought I'd share that. I keep going on too many stories today. Nobody's going to listen to this episode. Shit. Where was I? I'm sorry. So she lives in Libreville. And in Libreville, she actually ran a home called the Fraternity Saint Jean, which was part of the Valais Saint Marie. This place she ran was just wonderful. It was a home for the elderly. And it was really, they took in old people whose families couldn't or wouldn't take care of them. Like, some of them had dementia, they were suffering side effects of strokes, they had Alzheimer's. So, you know, just families would love to take care of them, probably, some of them, but they were unable to. Almost kind of like a nursing home, but it's being run by her. I don't know if they really have nursing homes in Gabon. Some of these residents she actually rescued. Some of them were found abandoned on the streets. And she would take them in. Like, she would go around and look for these abandoned elderly people. I don't want to judge these families because I don't know what their situations are like, you know, financially and just relationship with these elderly people. But I just, abandoning people on the streets seems mighty harsh. I just feel like they could have brought the old person to Sister Lydi and she would have taken them in. No questions asked. But again, I don't super want to judge these people because I don't know their situations. I don't know all the socioeconomic factors in Gabon. I'm just saying, abandoning people on the streets seems like a lot. But so Sister Liddy, she's taking everyone in, being a charitable ass fucking person. I'm sure the big man upstairs was mighty pleased with her. Like, pearly gates were wide open for her when she got there. This house she ran was also entirely financed by donations, which I think that's really impressive. Good for her. Because, I mean, again, I don't know all the details of how things run in Gabon, but here in America, it's like charities like this and stuff, there's always a business side to it. There's tax write-offs and there's business things, but this seems like it was just donations and she used them to help people, which that's mighty fucking impressive. Good for Sister Liddy. Now, obviously, she ran this place. She was like in charge, but she wasn't the only one working. It takes a village like anything else. She had people to help take care of these poor abandoned elders. I would assume some of them knew medicine or something to that effect. And she also had people who did odd jobs around the place, you know, kind of handymen or maybe doing grass, who knows. Because again, she's a 52-year-old nun. She don't have time to be fixing a clogged up toilet or what the fuck ever. One of the people that she helped out was a man named Romantic Balingbe. Oh, sorry, I think it's Balingbe. It's B-I at the end. Now, Romantic was a Congolese immigrant, so from the Congo. He was in his 20s. He was poor, and he actually survived just by doing like odd jobs for her and getting charitable donations from her at the church. So again, he's just a poor guy, probably not a lot of opportunities. I don't know what his educational background was like, but I'm sure it may have been lacking. I don't know. But I think I've said in other episodes, being poor does not excuse you of murder. Plenty of people are poor and they don't brutally murder people. So no sympathy for him. Feel bad for the situation he was in, but not his response and his actions to it. Fuck this guy. His name's Romantic, and it's Romantic with a Q. So it's like T-I-Q-U-E, which like, I guess they are French, so, you know, kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh, extra much. Also, I hate that his name's Romantic because he did not do anything romantic to this poor nun. Ugh. So on Thursday, March 19th, 2020, so this is a fairly recent case, just a little over 2 years ago, Romantic, he was at Sister Liddy's house in the morning, did some work for her like usual. I don't know what exactly he did, but he did some stuff for her. Then he left. Now, unfortunately, for Sister Liddy, Romantic came back that night. He later claimed that he only came back to rob her, which we're going to hear what he did. And I say, fuck you. That's bullshit. But we'll get into it. Sister Liddy caught him because he's probably making a bunch of noise because I'm sure he's a dumbass. And he wasn't wearing a mask because, again, dumbass. So, of course, Sister Liddy recognized him and I'm sure was probably like, yeah, I'm going to call the cops and tell them what you fucking did. So he got scared and angry about being caught. So what's a guy to do? He reacted the way anyone would in this situation. He tied her up, raped her, beat her, and killed her. What an absolute piece of shit. Like I said, first of all, he says he went there to rob her, which right off the bat, that's a dick move. It's not cool to rob anyone, but especially this poor lady has done nothing but help him. Like, she's taking care of you, and you're like, better go rob her? That's fucked up. And then she recognizes him because, like I said, of course he's a dumb fuck and didn't wear a fucking mask. So she recognizes him, and he's like, oh, spur of the moment, I had to tie her up, rape her, and kill her. Which, again, I'm like, that's complete bull fucking shit because you didn't, that was not spur of the moment. Like, you're a lying sack of shit. Even if we believed him for a second, like, oh, I'm going to go rob her. And then she caught him. He could have just knocked her out or something. Even if he was like, no witnesses, I have to kill her. He didn't have to tie her up, beat her, and rape her. Those were all just extra things he decided to do because he's a garbage human being. I think he knew what he went there for. And I think that's what he did. Like, I think he knew what he was going to do when he went there, and he did exactly what he went there to do. Because, like I said, piece of absolute human garbage shit. So he kills poor sister Liddy. And again, this is another reason I'm like, I don't believe this was like a spur of the moment thing, because he doesn't freak out or anything afterwards. Nope. He steals some shit like he meant to. He took 2 mobile phones, bunch of keys that went to all the rooms at her place. I don't know if he thought maybe he'd come back and rob all of them. I don't know. And then some money that amounted to $213 US. And then he drove off in Sister Liddy's car. So he murdered and brutalized a poor woman for some phones and about $200. What a senseless murder. I mean, all murder is senseless, obviously, but this one just seems extra senseless. And this woman was helping him and countless others, and he brutally assaulted and killed her for no reason. Human garbage. Although human may be too kind of a word for him. Might just be garbage. Garbage in skin. I don't know. So after he killed Liddy, like I said, drives off in her car, not freaking out at all. He went to his girlfriend's house. Because, you know, gotta go get some cuddle time after you kill someone. His girlfriend actually lived close to Liddy's. So he gets to his girlfriend's. He gave her some money and a mobile phone. Then he just hung out all night. And his girlfriend later said he was acting a little weird. And I read that and I was like, yeah, you think your boyfriend with no real job showed up and gave you a phone and money. Plus, I don't know, because I've never killed anyone before. But I feel like unless you're complete psycho, which maybe he was, but I feel like killing someone would probably stay with you, like mess you up in the head a little bit. So I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he was acting a little weird. Well, he spent the night with his girlfriend, ho-hum, nothing's going on, right? The next morning, some people that worked with Liddy at the house found her body, which these are always the people I kind of feel the most bad for in these stories, because it's always people that know them. It's always friends, coworkers, family. And I think of my friends or family and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to discover their body. They found her body. It was probably, honestly, other nuns that found it, which, ooh. So of course they call the cops, everything. And this makes the news very quickly because most people in town knew her. They knew of the house. They knew of her work. Like she was kind of not a celebrity, but she was known about town as being Sister Liddy, the charitable nun that takes in old folks. Like, she's known for being a good-ass fucking person. So, Romantic still hanging out at his girlfriend's house, and she starts seeing the news, and now she's kind of starting to put two and two together. You know, like, Sister Liddy was killed. My boyfriend was over there earlier in the day. Then he showed up, acting kind of weird. But I will say she was a little smart. She didn't come right out and ask him about it. She just kept talking about the murder. You know, had it on the news. Oh, this is so awful. Oh, who could have done it? Oh, should I be scared? Blah, blah. I think she probably thought he'd confess. And he did. He couldn't take it anymore. So he finally tells her what he did. Tells her the whole story. Just blurts out how he went in to rob her, ended up tying her up, raping her, beating her, whole enchilada. And of course, his girlfriend had what is the appropriate reaction to this. She was pretty much like, what the absolute fuck? Because if your boyfriend, girlfriend, actually anyone ever tells you that they just brutally raped, beat, and murdered somebody, you should definitely say, what the fuck? And then go tell on them. Don't be like some of these assholes in these stories who are like, oh, cool. You mean to help you cover it up? No, no, no. So the girlfriend is super disturbed by what he just told her. So she tells her brother, because I guess she was just like, gotta tell someone. I mean, I'm glad she told someone, but my advice is call the cops, not your brother. But, you know, that's just me. Her brother told Romantic that he needed to either tell the cops or go confess to a priest. I get that they're religious, but I'm sorry. This is not the thing you take to confessional. This is something you take to the cops. Like, you need to go tell the police what you did. Well, of course, Romantic went to confessional and told a priest. His girlfriend and the brother went with him. I kind of think he told a priest because he was still hoping to get away with it. Like, you know how some bad religious people like abuse confessional. They like think they can go be an asshole and do whatever they want and then go to confessional and everything's fine. Not all religious people do that. I'm not attacking religion. I'm just saying, you know, there's some assholes like that. I kind of wonder if this asshole was thinking that, like, oh, I'll go tell the priest. He'll, you know, tell me to say some Hail Marys. Should not have been that hard to say. You know, he'll tell me to say some Hail Marys and then I'll be good. I can just go on with my life. Don't worry, guys. This priest was like, you killed Sister Liddy? Yeah, we got to go tell the cops. And this priest actually took him to the police station himself. A lot of articles that I was reading about this were like, oh, the priest went to show support, like be there for him. And I'm like, maybe. But I feel like the priest went to make sure he actually confessed. A little have murder will travel life tip. If someone says they're going to confess to the cops, go with them to make sure that they do. So the priest went with him. He did confess, told the cops everything. And the super good news is he confessed and he is in jail where he belongs. Hopefully he will never get out. One kind of sad thing about this case, I mean, the whole case is obviously sad, but one thing I found especially sad was that this all happened just at the beginning of COVID, or like as COVID was really shutting everything down. Because remember, this is March 2020. And that's when the world basically blew up. So Gabon, like everyone else, had to shut shit down because of COVID. So at the time of her murder, funerals weren't even allowed to happen. They were only allowed the blessings at the grave site. I feel like she was really making a difference in her community, in her country. And I just feel like her funeral would have been a big to-do. And I think a lot of people would have wanted to say goodbye to her. And they couldn't because we're in a pandemic. Which is really sad, because not only did this asshole romantic, fuck that name, brutalize her, but then she couldn't even be mourned properly through a proper funeral. What a load of horseshit. But like I said, good news, he's in jail. Small victories. And this is actually going to bring us to the end of the case this week. I know this one's kind of short, but I don't know. When I saw Sister Liddy's pictures and read the story, I really wanted to tell it. It seemed kind of important. I was drawn to it. So hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you want to see Sister Liddy's pictures that inspired me, there's also going to be a picture of Garbage Human Romantic. You can check out the podcast on Instagram at Have Murder Will Travel. You can find the podcast on Facebook at Have Murder Will Travel Podcast. You can always send me a nice email at havemurderwilltravel@gmail.com. Tune in next week to see where we travel next. I'm still in some of the preliminary research stage, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do something a little different. Still travel-y, still murdery, but a little different. You'll just have to stay tuned to find out what it is. Ooh. Until then, don't forget to explore the world and stay alive. Bye.